Hi, it's June 16th, 2014. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. You are about to hear part one of a special broadcast recorded a few weeks ago at the Louisiana State Penitentiary. Chris Fabry with the Moody Broadcasting Network will host the program. Happy extended Father's Day and enjoy this feature titled One Day with Dad.
Welcome to a Moody Radio Father's Day special from the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, Louisiana. One Day with Dad.
There's probably more human suffering on this land than anywhere in America.
So I'm serving two life sentences, first and second degree murder running concurrent.
It was fighting every day. Every day somebody was getting killed or stabbed up pretty bad.
In our culture, they're called the throwaway of our society.
Give me the out camp. Give me God. Give me camp.
So God chose the bloodiest prison to do his work.
I don't know how you would explain this to someone else.
It is one of the most joyous, saddest things you'll ever see.
Heaven is going to invade the earth right here in Louisiana State Prison.
Souls are going to be saved. Children are going to be reunited with their dads, and dads are going to change as well.
And I watch God make the impossible possible.
Daddy!
What's up, Mama?
I miss my daddy, and now I get to spend a whole day with him. Thank you.
Leon Horn, here he comes.
Oh. That's so big, baby. My God.
We have a lot to talk about because she went to our first prom last week.
Three dads need to pay attention to dads in prison who are redeemed in Christ.
What better thing to do with your time but put the Word of God inside your mind, inside your spirit?
I solemnly pledge. Glorify God.
And build his kingdom.
By prioritizing the raising of godly children. First in my family.
Fathering from inside a maximum security prison. It's an unlikely place to bring you for Father's Day, but it's what's happening here that may change your heart a little.
Huh? Have fun today?
Yeah.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Making all shy. No, you're not shy, huh?
No.
Okay, then. You won that competition yesterday, first place.
What if you only had one day a year when you could run and play and laugh and talk with your child? Just one day to tell him the deep things on your heart. To ask her forgiveness, to pray with them, to be a father.
Father, we just thank you and bless you. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, what y'all doing? Hey, pretty girl.
Today, you'll hear stories of fathers and children whose hearts are turning toward each other. And our hope is that your heart will be turned as well. This is One Day with Dad from Moody Radio. I'm Chris Fabry. In this hour, we're going to attempt to bring you something that happened on May 17th, 2014, at the largest maximum security prison in America. It's known as Angola, the Louisiana State Penitentiary, a sprawling complex of camps in northern Louisiana, bordered on three sides by the Mississippi. 18,000 square acres of fertile farmland and levees and swamps. More than 6,000 prisoners are incarcerated here. Many of them will never leave the prison grounds. Their sentences are for life. They may be buried here. On the Wednesday before the event, Joel Swan, a team member with us from Moody Radio, was beside the main road, the B line, when the body of Marcus Eckroyd was carried on a horse-drawn carriage to his resting place at Point Lookout, the cemetery at Angola.
I shall not be moved. Jesus is my captain. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the water.
You cannot understand Angola without seeing this fresh grave. You can't understand the scope of healing that has happened in men's hearts until you understand the history of this bloody prison. And you can't understand the history of the prison until you understand the pain in the land. On the day before the Returning Hearts event that brought together dads and children, more than 400 volunteers gathered in the chapel in the main prison. The warden of the Louisiana State Penitentiary, Burl Kane, welcomed them and then gave a history lesson.
You know, it goes back a long time ago to the end of the Civil War when it became a prison, and you might say that slavery continued in America until 1901 because they leased out the prisoners to the plantation owners in the Angola plantation. And so before the Civil War, it was a slave breeding plantation. So they would breed slaves for sale here to go to other plantation owners, and the plantation owner married a socialite from New Orleans. When she saw that he was breeding slaves as animals for sale, then she put a stop to it, and it became a sugar plantation. And so, thank God for her. The point is, there's probably more human suffering on this land than anywhere in America. After the Civil War, 10% of the inmates a year died that came here. So if you had a 10-year sentence, you probably died in prison because they worked you to death, and they built the levee system from here to New Orleans. And if you got sick or you died, then they would just bury you in the levee and keep on going. Nobody cared. Nobody looked. When you had a family member who went to Angola before the turn of the century, then you probably never saw them again. A lot of human suffering on this land. So we go back to the inmates that were here when I came, Bishop Eugene Tannehill, and a lot of them here because 90% of them will die here that you see. They most all have life sentences. One out of two will have a life sentence. But God was here in these men's heart, and some of them were praying really hard. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, if my people who call my name turn their face back to me, I'll heal their land. In essence is what it says. And so that was really occurring. And that's what happened because God healed their land. Because now we see this one of the most holy places in this state, one of the safest places, because the men here claimed their land. You do it with a seminary.
Warden Burl Kane of the Louisiana State Penitentiary. The blood of slaves soaked this ground, and the blood of prisoners. The sweat and the toil and the violence and hatred and sin yielded their crops. And those entering Angola, it was said, were headed to a dead end. But something happened on this fertile farmland. Every year, the fields yield 4 million pounds of produce and more. The land is returning good for evil. And something redemptive is happening in the fertile soil of men's hearts as well. This is the president and CEO of Awana, Jack Egar.
Exciting. We want our children to be set free by hugging their fathers and taking the time to love on their fathers and be there with their fathers for a while. This is heaven on earth for many of our children. And it's in your hands to make it an incredible day. And to that end, I would like to challenge all of you, before the very moment that you are embracing your children, be in prayer.
There's buses coming from all over the state. The little kids, they'll be meeting a bus at 3:30 in the morning to make it here for 8 o'clock. The enemy is not happy because he would love for this not to happen. But we need God's hand of blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to please continue to keep your hand on this event. God, please help the mamas, grandpas, the grandmas that's putting forth the effort to help the little kid get here to see their daddy for the day. Watch over them on the way here and on the way home. Give us great glory and victory, and we would see hundreds of little kids come to know Jesus, and their little hearts would be healed this weekend, we pray. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You're listening to One Day with Dad from Moody Radio. That's Chaplain Robert Tony of the Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, Louisiana, with a heartfelt prayer for what will happen Saturday morning. In the same room a day earlier, the executive director of Awana Lifeline, Mike Broyles, spoke candidly to the dads about a key ingredient to the day.
Seeking forgiveness. That's really what we're doing, Saturday. We're going to have fun. We're going to play. We're going to hug. We're going to cry. We're going to laugh. But we're seeking forgiveness. Pride is the root of every other human sin. And men, it takes courage to be humble. before your child?
Christmas is about forgiveness, of learning how to seek forgiveness, how to talk to their child about forgiveness, how to be reconciled to their God first, and then seeking forgiveness, how to explain forgiveness to their child, how to have an attitude of humility, a humble attitude as they come, and a gentle attitude, an age-appropriate attitude. Being a pastor for over 40 years, a family life pastor, I have the privilege of now being a family life pastor and with the incarcerated. But on the outside, in local churches around America, I've heard a lot of stories where children and young adults have told me that their dad really never expressed love verbally to them or just a gentle hug. The kids tell me that they've been hurt by their father, their absence, or whatever daddy has done. And so my call is to the fathers on the outside that may listen to this, is that we all need reconciliation to our God and to our children. And I urge you, I beg you, if you're broken with your child on the outside, seek reconciliation. Humble yourself. Be courageous. And have a heart-to-heart with your child. And look that child in the eye and say, I have done wrong to you. This is what I've done. I have abandoned you or emotionally damaged you. And we need to own it, not blame our wives, our girlfriends, our fathers, our work, our government, our system, and own it. I have done wrong to you. Would you forgive me?
One of the highlights of the Returning Heart Celebration is watching the volunteers get ready for Saturday. They come from around the country at their own expense. Here's one family assistant whose job is to stay with the dad and children and simply serve.
It's just such an amazing thing that it's like you want the world to know. I mean, it's like I was a missionary many years overseas, and, you know, you saw pockets of God working. But when I come back to the States, it's, I don't know, it's just kind of different. And so when I come here, I'm like, it's here, too. It's, you know, God's really working in the United States. I had a man and a daughter last year, and they wanted to, like, listen to the band. So I sat in front of them. They sat behind me. And the dad was telling the daughter how to date, who to date, you know, what to look for, you know, using the biblical basis. And it was amazing. I mean, I had tears. They didn't know I was crying, but it was just, it's like, this is it. You know, if we could have heard this on the outside. And then I think that God uses the least of them. You know, it's like, so God chose the bloodiest prison to do his work. It's just amazing. It's like, this year I brought my mom, 76 years old, and she came to the program last night and was already crying. So I'm just hoping it catches on. But it needs to. The world needs to see this. Just to hear this dad pour out his heart. And I could tell that this dad has spent time with his daughter, like writing letters or talking on the phone because their relationship was strong. And I'm like, that doesn't even happen on the outside. You know, they can live in the same house and not experience that.
I'm a dad and I love my kids and I get to see my children. And many times as I sat there last night and realized that my daughter was graduating, I thought about times I wish I would have taken. But then I think about the men that are here, all the times they must think about they've missed. Can you imagine 20 years thinking about what you've missed? Can you imagine sometimes even 30 years? All the birthdays, all the Christmases, all the Easters, all the first things. But this came along, and this brings restoration to them, and it brings restoration to their children. And it's the greatest thing I've ever seen in all of my life to take place. A couple years ago, I was out in the parking lot, and there was a little girl in a wheelchair. Guy that was with the bus said, "Can you find some people to help me put her on the bus?" And I said, "I'm a big guy. You're not going to have to find some people. I'll get her." And I reached down and picked her up, and she put her arms around my neck, and she laid her little head on my chest, and she wept. And I went on the bus with her, and I held her a few minutes. Just the joy that I had to be there at that moment in her life. And you're going to be there for 1,000-plus kids tomorrow. How can we even put words to all of that? Just praise the Lord. Thank you.
No more noble thing will you ever do, I do believe. And when you leave tomorrow, those of you who have not been here before, and you see those children have to leave their dad, that many of them were estranged from, and many of them had a lot of tension at first when they get there, and you see them cry, and you see their dad cry, and you see the tears running down their face, and they not want to leave their dads, and they have to, you can't hold it back either. It is one of the most joyous, saddest things you'll ever see.
You think you're going to minister tomorrow. You got it wrong. You're going to go home more ministered to by people who are called inmates than you're going to minister to them. You just get ready to hold on. Because this is about the transformation of us as much as it is the transformation of an inmate and their children. So I trust that you're saying to the Lord, Lord, how do you want to change me? How do you want me to be different as I go home to my family? We got men in here that are setting the example for their families, and they'll never get out of this prison. And man, do we need men to set the example back home in a different way. And so men, let me shoot straight to the men. Get ready to learn how to be a man of God. You got some good teachers. They're called inmates, and they're called Christ followers. In our culture, they're called the throwaway of our society. To Jesus Christ, these men and children are made in the image of God. And they need a Savior just like you do and I do. It seems like on the heart of God, God seems to have great interest in the poor, the broken, the orphan, the child, and it seems like the prisoner. Start doing a Bible study on the theology of prisons and begin to teach it to your people, because we need to look differently at the people that are broken. Yes, they deserve to be punished and what we are experiencing, but they also deserve the right to hear the good news of Christ and break the cycle of crime by taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to their children. The best evangelist tomorrow that you'll see will be inmates to their kids.
I'm going to see my grandkids on Saturday. I have 3 grandkids that's going to be here. One of them name is Chubb. They call him Chubb, Haven, and Candon. What's going to happen is heaven is going to invade the earth. Right here in Louisiana State Prison. You can't really explain what's going to take place. Men that's going to cry, children going to cry, hearts are going to be, relationships going to be restored, the gospel is going to be preached, children going to get their hearts to Christ, and it's just going to be an amazing time, you know, on Saturday. And the only way that I can describe it is that heaven is just going to come invade earth for that moment in time.
I am looking forward to seeing Rashad. He's the best son that any father could ever have. So I'm looking forward to beating him in basketball. You know, so that's, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but I know it's going to cost me something. My body's going to be aching because, you know, he has all this energy. But nevertheless, I'm looking forward, because it's that one day in which he has me to himself.
Yes.
So that's all he's been talking about. And I've been receiving emails from off the kiosk machine, you know, I'm going to do you this, and this is his Christmas.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to being there with him. And also, more importantly, just imparting the word of God in his life. And also just recultivating what's already there. You know, he knows the Lord. I'm excited about that, because these moments, they're not long-lived. They're short-lived, so I really want to maximize this opportunity. So I'm looking forward to spending that entire day with Rashad.
I'm promoting
a basketball game that's going to take place out there between the father and the son. Last year, I let my son win a game of basketball.
You let him win, man.
Yeah, he went around telling everybody that he beat me. And I told him this year I have two words for him, and it's no mercy. So he's 13. He's going on 14. I told him that I've been shooting up to 1,000 jump shots a day now, and that I'm not going to take it light on him under no circumstances. I was in the gym today, for real.
In the gym. 1,000 jump shots.
Yeah.
You counted them.
No, see, look, hold on. Can't wait. After the initial greeting, we go into the basketball court. And we go, we got a term down here. We go ball till we fall. Ball till we fall. See, last year I was trying to do a lot of talking and socializing with him. He wanted to play ball, so he go get what he was asking for this year.
Tell him the attitude and the expectation of the guys in prison. What you feel going on in the guys' minds?
Oh man, it's almost like you just want to go to sleep and wake. Today is Wednesday. It's like you want to go to sleep and wake up and tomorrow be Saturday. That's where I'm at.
Amen.
With it, right?
Man, you couldn't put it no better, man.
That's real.
Tweaking.
That's it.
Best day in prison.
Man.
To be with your kids.
Exactly.
Best day in prison. Did you hear that? Best day in prison is Saturday. One day with Dad. On Saturday morning, as the sun begins to bake the asphalt on the prison grounds, the buses begin to arrive, along with cars and vans from around the state and beyond. Children of inmates make their way to the rodeo grounds, where their fathers and several hundred volunteers are waiting.
Come in, we pray for traveling safety for everybody, Lord, and we just commit this day to you and thank you for everything you're going to do. We just ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Have fun, everybody.
All right.
Kendrick Christmas. Kendrick. Come on down, Kendrick.
Today is going to be more of a unique experience because I don't particularly see my kids at visit. So the last time I seen my son was at Returning Hearts last year. And so within a year, they grow so much. And they change so much. And so I think the first initial thing that I'll be looking for is a strong connection. And I believe that that strong connection will happen naturally. And then I'll feel more relieved and relaxed. And then, you know, I've just been praying that God just works everything out, that issues don't be anything. And we just come out here and we have fun and they see their dad for who he is and not for what they think because he's in prison or what someone might have said, and we just embrace each other in love beyond any issues, and we just make that strong connection to where I remember when I was a child looking at my father, some of the little things, you know, picking those things up. So I'm going to be very conscious of what I say and how I act towards him and just try to be as naturally in love with him as possible. And then other than that, I just don't want to try to control things. You know, I want them to have fun, and wherever they want to go and whatever they want to do, we're going to do it. And today's the day to do it. You know, normally, even at visit, you can't do too much holding and jumping and running and none of that stuff. And so if he wants to wrestle on the ground, we might be able to get away with that. If he wants to get on my shoulders, I'm looking forward to having just an amazing time today. This is the most wonderful day of my life. It is. It really is. I mean, I've been incarcerated for 23 years now, since I was 18 years old. And I was just barely a kid myself when I came to prison. And so I haven't forgot a kid's perspective.
And that kid's perspective is one of excitement at seeing Dad. For some, it's a little scary. All these people. The man calling names with the microphone, hundreds of volunteers in brightly colored shirts, and then Dad in the stands with all the other inmates. This inmate was waiting in the stands for two special people in his life,
My two sons, Pharaoh and Malik, coming all the way from Houston, Texas. My sister is bringing them. All my family are from Houston, Texas. Unfortunately, messed around and just got caught up here in Louisiana, and it's basically really hard on our family. You know, I get a visit probably maybe once a year. My mother passed and everything, but like this day right here, we look so exciting, and this basically the only day I have a year to spend with my sons, and you know, it's just a glorious day. I mean, and I thank Burl King and the governor, Bobby Jindal, for allowing this, and all the volunteers, because see, without all these people and Warden King, none of this wouldn't be happening. Right now, I'll probably be still in the dorm, just laying up, thinking about them, but today, it's a beautiful day. God bless us to be here. Can't wait to get them on that basketball court and see what they got.
How old are they?
13 and 8.
As I was talking with this dad, he spotted his two sons in the line of children.
You see them right there? Camouflage. Both of my sons, Pharaoh and Malik.
Okay, what's your name again?
Andrew Dixon.
Andrew Dixon. Come on down, Andrew.
I've been to every returning horse except the one when I couldn't attend because I was on lockdown, but it's going to be kind of emotional because it's going to be my last one because my daughter's making 17 and, you know, the age limit to come is 17, so it's going to be kind of emotional because it's my youngest daughter and she really attached to me, so it's going to be like good and it's going to be bad because I'm going to be glad to spend time with her, but I'm going to be kind of sad because it's going to be the last time I'm going to be able to spend time with her also.
Christopher Davis.
We send each other pictures. We write. She actually has every letter that I ever sent her. You know what I'm saying? Since she was maybe about 4. And she got them in a shoebox and she said when I make it home, she's going to give them back to me. You know, so.
I'll stop here and we'll pick up tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends for the rest of this special feature with Chris Fabry and the Moody Broadcasting Network. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.